Hello, everyone. It's time for another edition of Adventures in Careerland. Hello, all. I'm Adriano Magnifico. I'm the career lead at the Lurie Arts and Technology Center. And the Arts and Technology Center is a very, very cool little place in the Lurie School Division. It's one of those interesting high school spaces. Also offers spaces to post-secondary students and international students. But it's a very cool place where students may step off the beaten path of their high school experience, where they've been taking history, physics, chemistry, math, psychology. And they think about, I want a little more. I want more for my school experience, my high school world. And they come into this space for a couple of semesters. They take things like applied business management, automotive technology, information systems, new media design, plumbing, childhood educator, culinary arts, building trades. And the big gem of this whole school, in my humble and esteemed opinion, is the broadcast media program. And that's the program in which we reside. We are in the podcast studio of the broadcast media program. And in this space, we run Adventures in Careerland. Why do we call it Adventures in Careerland, you may be wondering, and from all the emails I get from people. We call it because that name because we believe every story is an adventure. We believe that everyone's story is capable of curiosity, innovation, possibility. We believe that everyone's on an adventure and that the choices they make lead them to all kinds of interesting life path moves and possibilities. So when we talk about adventure, we really want to know what you've been up to. So in this podcast, we have two very, very good co-hosts. They are students from the broadcast media program. I'm always privileged and esteemed to work with them. One is Ihoma, also known as Oma. And she is one of our co-hosts. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
You're doing good. You look like you had a bit of a downtime coming in here. So how's the morning gone for you?
It's going horrible.
How come? Why? You're such a bright spirit. Why? How are you down today?
Because I said something and everyone keeps talking about it. It's pretty embarrassing, but it's fine.
Is that high school drama?
No.
It's kind of high school drama. We'll leave it at that. It's just kind of, she's part of the high school drama world of which these poor students have to find their space and way and maneuver. So that's pretty fun. And she's fine. Bring your smile back. I want to see your smile. There it is. Let's see your smile. There it is. It's coming. There. She's back. Our other co-host is Zach Piché. And Zach, how are you today?
Oh, I'm very good.
And so how is your day going so far? We're early in the morning.
Oh, very early. I'm a little bit tired, a little bit nervous to be on the guest today. But
yes, and Zach will be our guest today. Yesterday, first podcast, Oma was our guest. Mm-hmm. And this time, Zach will be our guest. And I want to assure all our listeners that we will be having a wide slate of guests, but we want to get to know our co-hosts first and understand some of their story and get to know their adventure as it seems to be unfolding. So we're very excited about that. So Zach and Oma, I want to ask you a question here. I was walking down the hallway of the Arts and Technology Center with all those programs and the hundreds of students who reside and work through these programs, looking for skills, looking for possibilities. I noticed everyone's got their head in their phone. Walking down the hallway. I said hi to a couple of students. I was ignored. Well, so let me ask you, how do you feel about your phones? How close to you are your phones? And must you always have your head in your phone? What's your thought on this?
I love my phone.
I know you love your phone.
My phone holds everything. So people I know to things I like, my phone's like my best friend.
You're making me very sad saying that because you may have a best friend out there who said, I thought I was her best friend. No, it's your phone.
Also, like, I feel like the COVID just really, like, brought down our whole, like, social, like, you know. And now we're just stuck in our phones, technology. I don't know, because our phones will never fail us. Our phones will never cause high school drama. But, yeah, I think that's pretty relatable. I think everyone's on their phone all the time.
So do you actually believe your phone never starts high school drama? I beg to differ when somebody posts something.
Wait, people use their phones to start it, not their phones actually doing stuff. But I don't know. Phones holds a lot of memory. Don't you love your phone?
I use it to read newspaper articles from the New York Times.
How old are you again?
I'm 100.
That makes sense.
And I must listen. I listen to podcasts occasionally on it and hockey broadcasts sometime where I can get different pieces. But it's a very practical tool for me. And when I figure out a new piece of it, I get very, very excited. It's so much fun. My head's not in it every moment. Because I think my eyes hurt when I do that. Again, I'm 100 years old. Yeah. But, ask Zach. What you said was very interesting, that your phone's your best friend. It really isn't, is it?
No.
Okay, good, no. Good, good. No. Okay. Zach, tell me about your experience with your phone. How do you feel about your phone, and why is your head always in it?
I think my generation, our generation, me and Oma's, has a more personal, I guess, relationship with our phones, because we did grow up. We kind of got into teenagehood over COVID. And during COVID, like, social media and our phones were our only way of communicating with the outside world for a while when we were locked down. So I do find myself still today, like, picking up and having those habits of not socializing as much in person, and maybe texting in person when I know I'm even in the same building as them. I try to stay away from.
Well, let me ask you.
Yeah.
Let me ask you. So you would rather they're in the same building with you. You would rather text them than go down and have a personal conversation with them.
Yeah. Sometimes
it's way more easier.
It is easier. it's more natural too. Yeah. I think to our generation.
And you can avoid the drama. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Does the phone? Like you're saying, this is kind of an extension of you, though, right? Does the phone? Yeah. Is the phone more practical to you as a tool, or is it my life, my environment?
My environment, for sure.
Your environment. How do you feel? Tool or environment?
Well, it's both. It's a tool we use in our everyday life, and we can't take away the importance of that. But
what's it a tool for?
Tools have
uses to do things and to get things done. So what do you use your phone for beyond the chatting with each other and texting with each other and flipping through TikTok or thumbing through everything?
Well, it's a portal to access literally any information you want. On this magical thing called Google that we all have access to. I mean, like when you were a kid.
Google? What's that?
When you were a kid, like your teachers probably told you, like, hey, you'll never have a calculator in your pocket at every second of the day, but we do. Like, and things like that, I feel like it's important and it adds benefits.
So you're saying it's a tool for research?
Yeah.
On top of the social aspect, yeah.
And music.
And music.
And the music. You know what is kind of interesting about the phone? I used to have, when I was, you know, back in the 30s when I went to school, I used to have, you're looking at me, you're doing the math in your head? I said back in the 30s when I went to school. Okay.
I was like, were you 30 when you went to school? Like, wait.
No, in the 30s. Like, I'd be 95 or something. Yeah, all right. Okay. Jeez. Anyway, it's a failure of the whole system. You didn't do the math quick enough in your head. All right. Anyway, I used to buy, it was a cool thing for me to buy the big stereo. All of us had a big stereo. We put a big stereo in our car, too. I had a Gremlin back in the day, a 1977 AMC Gremlin. You got to look that car up to see what Magnifico's first car was. Pretty cool. Anyway, but a big deal was I buy the big stereo speakers, buy the big amp, buy the big cassette player, buy the big, and then disc player. We like those. And I just bought we like that stuff. Like, you're seeing it now. And now when I look at it now, I'm holding my phone right now. All of my music is on my phone. And that's what you guys have. You don't own anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't have to own anything. You can pay a little subscription for it, right? Or just download it. Or not pay a subscription, do the freebie. I do all the freebies, right? So when you subscribe to Spotify, you got all their music. Anywhere you want, anytime. It was never that easy. You had to go out and buy it. You had to own it and do it. And here's a weird thing that happened to me this weekend. I got a Jimmy Buffett live album. I forget the title of it, but I remember from back in the day. And it was a vinyl record. And I bought it and I played it all weekend because it reminded me of putting that physical album on the turntable that I still have and played it. And it was glorious. And then it ended. I flipped it over and put the other side on. I listened to his whole concert on that album. You guys wouldn't do that?
No.
You really wouldn't. It's not even a thing. But that's where the phone has become, you don't even need a flashlight anymore.
No.
Your phone's your flashlight. Yeah. Like in my day, you had to buy a flashlight. And then you had to buy your stereo. Then you had to buy your albums. Then you had to
buy your calculator.
Then you had to buy your calculator. Then you had to buy your scheduler. Then you had to buy all of that stuff, right? Mm. It's all in one space. So you like that notion of everything being in one space?
Yeah.
So what happens if you lose your phone?
Oh God.
Your eyes just went like,
oh God.
Oh my, you just look at you. You're you're panic mode.
Losing your phone is equivalent to like dying. But no, I'd not be happy if I lost my phone. Or like, No. Don't even talk about it. I don't think about it.
Okay. Hey, listen, I'm not trying to stress you out.
No, I'm not trying to stress you.
No, you're not. You're in panic mode. I got to get you a psychiatrist at the end of this just to have a therapist to talk this over. How would you feel if you lost your phone?
I've never lost my phone like for more than like 30 minutes. The worst that happened to me.
It's lost for 30. What happened in that 30 minutes?
I don't know because I have no access to the outside world.
No access to the outside world. But that's an interesting piece. And employers have an interest in you being at their work sites, and they're beginning to ask questions because I asked them, can't you put your phone down at the work site? And that may be a problem down the road. Are you going to be able to bring that and distinguish between the two spaces, when to use it, when not to use it? Right now you use it. I think you said it right. It's my environment. It's the way I live. It's the way I breathe. It's the way I move with this thing, right? Same thing?
Yeah.
So at the work site, if they say, you know what, put your phone in here. You're not touching it for the morning. How will you feel?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Because
I don't know, it just works differently that way. Okay.
You're breathing difficultly right now. Difficultly. Oh my gosh. Okay. I find that very interesting. We'll continue to have these kind of conversations. I want you to think about them down the road. And any time during this podcast you want to bring up, I just thought about this today. Or more importantly, you pick up a vinyl record and you talk about how great it is, I'm all ears. That's not gonna happen, is it?
No.
Okay. Oh gosh, I'm looking around for an Engelbert Humperdinck record. That was a
sure.
Yeah. Anyway, hey Zach, you're from Dakota Collegiate. We're going to talk to Zach a little more detail because it's his turn to be interviewed. Zach, you're from Dakota Collegiate. You're in grade 11. Why did you choose to step off the path and come here? You left your buddies. You were on the football team there too.
Yeah, I was.
That's a world championship football program there.
Well, not world championship, but
it's pretty good.
Manitoba championship.
Yes, yeah. Pretty cool. And you got the cool field there, right?
Yeah.
You have the best field. Now, it must be fun practicing on that field as a football player, right?
It is. I prefer real grass for practice because it hurts a lot less to get tackled on. But
isn't it all that kind of those little balls, those little?
It is, but underneath.
What is it made of?
It's
what do they call it?
Rubber. It's I think it's just shredded up rubber into the turf.
Okay.
The problem is underneath it, it's solid concrete. Versus grass, it's like there's dirt and like there's the earth underneath.
Okay.
It, right? So it's a softer landing.
Yeah. I gotta say, I took my dog for a walk around there and he peed on there. So anyone who's getting their face mauled into that Dakota grass, maybe smell on my dog's pee. Okay. Oh. I tried to keep him off, but you know, a dog's got to go.
Yeah.
Dog's got to go. It wasn't me. It was my dog. All right.
So. I hope so.
Okay. Very good. Very good. So you're at Dakota. You're on the championship team. So that's a great camaraderie piece, right? All the buddies you're playing with on the team and all the friendships. What's the value of being on a football team like that and being a part of that team?
I think there's a lot of values. There's the discipline part we gain from like listening to our coaches. There's like you said, the camaraderie and like the brotherhood, like we get from bonding with each other through good times and bad times that I don't think you really get in very many, very, very, in, I don't think you get it in very like other things other than football. So there's that. And yeah, I think discipline and brotherhood, you said it right there.
Well, football's a pretty powerful, I played a little bit back in the day. Football's the toughest one, though. Ever had a good injury in a football game?
No, never.
Never? I can't believe you're playing that hard if you've never been. You ever been bruised up in a football game?
I've been bruised up, and I've played like through like sprains and
yeah,
like
that's,
that. But I've never broken anything playing football. Yeah, no.
Football's a tough game though, right? Like you're slammed on the ground constantly.
Yeah.
As a matter of course, every play somebody's getting beaten down. I remember seeing a study in the New Yorker magazine somewhere or other where they put some kind of sensors and helmets in a big college football game, and they on the kickoff there were 4 or 5 concussions.
Yeah,
just because people are hitting each other and banging each other and blocking each other and trying to make a play. That's what happens in a football game. So you really have to learn how to tackle properly.
Yeah.
And when you cheat on the tackles, oh my gosh, some people really get hurt, and you get mild concussions. And they found that they all these sensors, all these readings they were getting showing every single play in a football game, somebody's getting concussed.
Sorry, what's the worst injury you've seen?
Seen or like had to happen?
No, seen.
This guy doesn't get hurt, eh? This guy doesn't get hurt? I don't know. No, and remember, he's a defensive back. That's what I used to play.
I do this.
So I get it. I get it. Somebody's already been hit, yeah. And then the defensive back comes in and hits him again. And puts his cigarette down, and then someone comes in and hits him again. I understand the DB thing.
So the worst injury I've ever seen was probably back in club football. It was just a dirty play. We were losing by a lot, and one of my teammates was and close friends just got tackled, and one of my teammates was fed up with the game, I guess, and he after the play took one of the other players and tried and threw him down after the whistle. Unfortunately, he threw him right down on my friend's neck.
Huh.
And
oh my god.
Yeah. Huh. I was really scared, like it was going to be something really serious and set him back like a lot in life. Thankfully, it was they had to like take him off in a stretcher and like lock everything so he doesn't make anything bad.
He was okay. He's okay.
Yeah, he is okay. He is 100%
okay. So
they do that precaution. I guess
of course. So a hockey game almost broke out there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, well, hockey's a pretty rough game too. Are you with us? Oh, I like it. I like it. Anyway. I'm thinking, hey, I remember back in football, I used to be the snapper for punts. You know what that guy is?
The long snapper.
The long snapper for punts when I used to play. I'll never forget this. I destroyed our entire season in about, I don't know, a quarter of football because we were at the old X grounds. I don't know what they're like now. And I was snapping. It was muddy. It was raining. It was awful. I snapped the ball back to our quarterback. Because he was also our punter. And for whatever reasons, our quarterbacks, your best athletes are punting and kicking and doing things in those days. Snap it back to him. The ball never quite gets out of my hand and it bounces in the mud as he tries to jump on it. Someone jumps on him, breaks his arm. So our quarterback's out pretty much for the season. So our backup quarterback comes in and I'm the long snapper. I snap the ball back to him. Can't get a hold on the ball. It's all wet. Bong, 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 bangs around him. Someone jumps on him and kind of hurts him and knocks him out for a portion of the season. We had nobody on our team. And so I, the long snapper, pretty much this bench riding long snapper, pretty much destroyed our entire football season. But you know what? I look upon that with fondness because we were all a team.
Yeah.
Like Zach says, we were all a team, a brotherhood that really began to hate me because I was destroying most of the good players on our team. It was a beautiful moment. Anyway, Zach, tell us some more here. You're at Dakota. You're doing that gig, but you decided to come to Arts and Tech Center. What are you not getting at Dakota that you choose to come here? Because you could have done the whole Dakota thing, right? For your grade 12 year, right? Everything, total Dakota. And you're with all your friends. What are you getting here that you weren't getting there?
So thankfully, I still get to play football next year. I don't get that taken away from me being at ATC. But I think, like, as a student athlete, because that's what you are when you play, especially for a school team, I think the student part, the student part in high school, the ordinary high school life wasn't, like, fulfilling what I was trying to do in life, and I wanted to be more applied and do something that really passions me, because I think I was losing a lot of passion for my school, not my school, well, but for my education.
No, that's okay. It's school, yeah. It's funny you use the term applied learning.
Yeah,
because this place is a center of applied technical, yeah. Applied, and apprenticeship learning. You come there for applied. So are you saying that in the regular high school, and I'm not saying this is a good or bad way,
yeah.
But the regular high school system is an academic program,
yeah.
With little pockets of applied learning in spaces, right? But you're doing this every day in the Arts and Tech Center, right? Every day is applied learning.
Yeah.
Every day you're learning something, you must use it and create with it.
Yeah.
Every day. And then when you do it in a classroom, you must leave and go outside into the nighttime, into the deep, dark night. And arrive at the IG Center or the that's Investors Group Center,
yeah.
Correct? The Investors Group Center or the Princess Auto Stadium, which you're going to be doing down the road, or
Seven Oaks
yeah. Doing the provincial hockey championships, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to these spaces where you must apply your skill, and it must be correct, and there's no margin for error.
There's not when we're live.
Not when you're live, and you're going live, and you have an audience of anywhere from, you know, 0 to 10,000 people who
yeah.
might be watching your
yeah.
show.
Mm-hmm.
So do you like that piece of it? And in high school, is there too much sitting around?
Yes.
For you?
I'm a hands-on learner. I'm very kinesthetic in that way. Like I need to like do something to feel like I'm being productive, I think. And in high school, like I just feel like, yeah, I'm doing things, but I'm not like necessarily feeling like I'm doing anything like meaningful, I guess, or meaningful to me.
Well, it is meaningful. Remember, like I'm always an advocate. I'm from the system, right? And your high school system taught you to read and write.
Yeah. Oh, that's
taught you to comprehend. It built all the foundation pieces. But there is a point, as I've learned working with thousands of students in many of the programs I've run, which are very kinesthetic, and I've learned that you need to get out. You need to see that there are other classrooms that aren't in a school. And some of the best classrooms are at Seven Oaks Arena. Some of the best classrooms are at the IG Center. Some of the best classrooms are when you step out and beyond these walls and into the classrooms of the world. And that's even in internships. You're all going to go off on internships, right? Going to be very powerful. Mm-hmm. Those internships may change your life. They may change the way you see the world. You may meet someone on an internship, and a simple conversation may change everything you've thought about something or every single idea you had about where the next step may be. And I don't know if that's going to happen, but I know when you're on that curious path of exploration, you're soaking it up like a sponge. When you're just sitting in the class taking in, do you know the causes of the War of 1812?
Not.
You don't remember them?
Yes. I think we did that this year. I should.
Of course you do. How important is that? The War of 1812, that's the Canada-US.
Yeah.
It's never been more important than right now.
Yeah.
So you both need my small assignment for you. As your history teacher, Harry, you must learn the War of 1812. It will make you smarter and happier, Harry. You know what I'm talking about?
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. And who am I playing right now?
Dumbledore.
I'm just Dumble. You can call me Dumble.
Dumble.
All right? Dumble. Hey, Dumble. All right. So that's an interesting piece. The applied learning appeals to you, Oma.
Mm-hmm.
The applied learning piece. You've come from Glenlawn.
Yeah.
And I like the applied piece. It doesn't mean in those schools there aren't applied opportunities, but it's not the environment. So this is almost like, this space is almost like you talk about as your phone. It's the way you live. It's the way you work here,
yeah.
Where you must learn. You must apply it. You must put it in a professional context. Mm-hmm. Take a breath and then learn some more and repeat. Yes?
Yes.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all like that?
Yes.
Why is that so much better for you?
Because in high school, we had to go from class to class, like different times, different hours, different classes. But here, it's like one class, like the whole day. So we have like a homeroom. We're learning the same thing over and over again. So we're getting better at it.
So I like that. So you're talking about the stops and starts in high school
yeah.
actually slow you down.
Yes.
And the stop and start from one class, you're just getting, could be getting involved. It could be really happening in a class.
Yeah.
You got to go to the next one. Got to
yeah.
rev it up. That,
mm-hmm.
That's a great insight.
Mm-hmm.
You're very smart.
Thanks.
I like the way you said that. How do you feel about that?
Like, I agree like completely, because like it's one class to another. So like, you know, you have one teacher you like, you have one teacher you don't like. So it's like, oh, I gotta go to this teacher now. But like, no. And see, just hold on. See, but here you don't have that option. You develop these professional relationships with your peers and your teachers who are gonna be your bosses eventually. So you're forced to work in a way that works, I guess, because you cannot have you can have bad relationships, but you can't have dysfunctional relationships.
Okay, if you guys believe that, honestly, if you believe that, why are more students not coming here? And don't mishear me, it's kind of packed here. I don't know if you know, but most classes are pretty packed. But why are more students, why isn't there a lineup to get in here all the time? And there's a small lineup, but why isn't it around the block? What don't students understand?
I think there's a misconception about ATC that it's just a dumb trade school.
Okay, yeah. Yeah? That's what I thought at first too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you dispel that myth?
It was kind of my parents forcing me, really. Yeah, they just like explained like the whole thing being like, oh, it will like better your future. You could like do better things instead of going to school every day. Just take this. And I was like, okay, sure. And I came here and it's not what I expected. Like, it's way better than what I expected. And I feel like the high schoolers they're too scared to actually come here for the fear of being called like a loser. Cause why are you going to that like dumb school? But it's actually not dumb. Just so you guys know. Also,
Are people talking about me that I'm dumb?
I don't think anyone knows you.
That's good. All right.
Yeah.
What do you think on that? Your buddy's back at school. Why are they not coming here?
I do have some buddies here. I don't know. I think, like I said, those buddies, they were more concerned about me going to this particular program than the school in general.
Mm-hmm. They thought you'd go into like something hands-on, like wood.
And, yeah, they thought I was gonna. They're stuff. Like broadcasting. Like, what's that? What's that gonna lead to?
Yeah.
Like, one of my friends.
That's a go ahead.
One of my friends even used and I quote. He said, "Like he called this not a real trade." He said, "Yeah, me and my buddy, we took a real trade," and I really took offense to that because I was like, I don't think he understands the work that goes into it. Like we not only do manual labor, like moving around like what 1,000 pounds of equipment to a trailer and then setting up, that 1,000 pounds of equipment, but we also need to use our brains. And we're also like thinking about how we can set it up in the most efficient way possible.
Yeah. You're constantly problem solving.
Yeah.
But there's that whole notion of it's just a trade school.
Yeah.
And it's not a trade school. And you've discovered that coming in. Like when that's why I jumped on your word applied learning. It's an applied learning center when the dust settles, with trades as one of the options for you. Because you can become an apprenticeship. You can become an apprentice and take an apprenticeship program here, right? There's four or five like that, but the rest aren't like that. So it's interesting what perceptions are out there and how you found that this would be good. Mom, family said you should consider this.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even on your radar. No. If they didn't do that, you'd still be in the drama at Glenlawn. Yes. And what made you make the call to come here?
Yeah, my mom also said like, hey, I think you'd be a perfect fit in this program. And I was, cause I was considering electrical and just going to take a trade that would get me an apprenticeship too. So, but my mom pushed me to come to this program.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. So yeah. It's the parents. And you know, most of the research, the literal research out there that says what influences a young person to make the first steps and the first calls to parents. And that's in the 60 to 70% range. It's a family member who influences you more than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately so that you can be in charge of your own fate. Down the road, your parents aren't going to be the ones who are going to say, are you happy here? You're going to have to say, am I happy here? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So sure. I feel super happy for you guys that you're feeling you're in the right place. But I still lament for many students who are sitting back in schools going through a process, they're completely bored with school, they don't know what to do, and they're not seeing other options for themselves, and they're going to graduate with the sense of, what do I do now?
Mm.
You may not know what you're going to do after high school, but your skills are going to be amazing. And you're going to see, I always say, you never know what job you should think about after high school, but you should know, I've talked to you before about this in class, you should know the space where you fit, where your skills really seem to resonate with people, mm-hmm. to whom you gravitate out there, what industries seem to connect with you, mm-hmm. and that's what you do in this space, which is kind of cool. High school needs a heavy dose of career development, but they don't get it. Like a heavy dose of it. Here, our environment, like your phone, is career development, is you're trying to figure out what your gig is. So I'm interested in what you might say to a young person in grade 10. If you're sitting in front, they're all sitting in the pews, they're waiting for you. You walk into the room, Zach. What would you say? What piece of advice would you give to them about the next steps in your life? And I'm not necessarily saying it's got to be ATC, okay? But what would you say to them?
I would tell them to trust themselves because they know themselves like the best. And I would tell them to trust the people like closest to them that they know are closest and know them the best, because they know those people are also going to give you the best advice for you. But the person, like I said, who has the best advice for you is yourself, because only you know yourself the best. And your parents and the people who are close to you aren't going to be able to always push you in the right direction. So you got to learn.
But they're going to give you good information. Exactly. So you have to filter that, right? With what's inside of you. What advice would you give Oma quickly? You did a little bit last time too.
Yeah, I did.
Do you remember? Well,
I think I said just step out of your comfort zone.
Yes,
I think that's what
yes.
I said.
That's what you said before. Yeah. I just wanted to remind us of that. Mm-hmm. You're talking about some pretty heady stuff. You're talking about take some risk.
Yes.
And it's good to do it in high school because the risk is supported here. Mm. When you turn 18 and leave, you're on your own. You have a whole machine behind you here at ATC and all of your high schools and all your spaces. And I always say to students, this is the chance to take your risk. This is the chance to try it. Nothing's going to mess you up here because you're going to be supported. When you fall, we're going to throw you right back on that horse.
Right.
And you're going to start riding again. So this is your chance. It's when you leave that I think school should spend more time thinking about what should we do for you when you leave, not just helping you graduate. Right? Do you have something?
Yeah. I was going to say, it's better to even take a trade because then you have more skills than just, high school. Because then in high school, you have just, basic skills, math, English, just knowing, the basic stuff. But when you come here and actually do some work, you learn, other things that can help you, better your future.
Yeah.
That's what I think, yeah.
I love what you said. Skills are skills.
Yeah.
Just get skills. Get just better skills. At things. Get better at stuff, right? Learn how to change a tire. Honestly. Because when you're stopped in the middle of a street somewhere and your tire goes, can you get out there and fix it real quick? Mm. That's a life skill.
Yeah.
We don't teach that stuff. The kids in the automotive program, whether or not they continue with that, will learn how to change their own oil. Will learn how to change tires. Mm-hmm. Will learn how to rotate their own tires. Yeah, they're going to save themselves all kinds of money. Right. It could also turn into a career path for them because they're getting good at things.
Yes.
And life is about getting good at things. And I can see you guys are really good with tech. I can see that. I'm the old guy trying to always figure out, can somebody put the Instagram up or something? And I'm telling you, who can upload this? And you guys look at me quickly. You pull out your phone, zing, 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 and it's all uploaded.
Yeah.
And it's all done. You have a great skill. My question to both of you is, how good do you want to get with your phone and what the phone can be besides this personal device? Because it's a real tool out there if you use it properly for a business. And we'll talk more about that down the road, but...
Yeah.
As you get good at things, I'm always going to push you and help you think about, or I'm going to push you and coerce you to think about the value of being good at stuff and trying to figure out, I'm really good at setting this thing up on Instagram to share with my friends. What else could I do with this as a skill set that a business would be very interested in?
Mm.
Because they are. And I can give you examples down the road, and some of our guests will speak to this. Some of our first guests that we bring in to speak with us, we'll talk about the heavy importance of social media in their world as a business and moving their business to another level, not just as my personal device. So I don't have to talk to my friend down the road and I can just text them. Right? Down the hallway. You guys, you're killing me. Go talk to people.
No one's
anyway.
Walking all that.
All right. So now you're thinking, do you have any sense of where you want to go when this is all done? You're only in grade 11. Are you university bound? Do you think where do you seem to gravitate toward? Where are the influences on you? Do you think you're university bound or do you see something in broadcast as you play with this? You've only been here for 2 months.
Yeah, I've only been here for 2 months, but I'm starting to think this could be what I do for the rest of my life.
What's this?
Broadcast. I don't know exactly what in broadcast.
Yes.
I really want to work independently and work for myself if I could, like creating content, for example, or like maybe editing for somebody.
So you want to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You want to run your own gig. So that's pretty cool. And that's one of the very powerful mindsets in the Gen Z group in which you number, right? Mm-hmm. We want to run our own gig. I want to be in charge, right? Did you have something?
No.
That's okay. That's okay. I thought I saw your eyes light up and say, I must talk.
I think I did, but then I forgot what I was going to say.
I must dance. I must dance. Anyway, so I think the paths you're on are very, very interesting. I have no idea where they're going to lead because I'm not you. And I would submit to you, you have no idea where yours are going to lead because you're in it. But when you're on the exploratory path and the curious path, something good's going to happen to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say, like, I feel like I gravitate towards, like, the college, like, university. Like, Praise mentioned, she said she was going to Red River for, like, to know more about the broadcast thingy. I think that's, like, not going to Red River, but just, like, going
to Creative college. Communications at Red River offers this kind of broadcast environment. Yeah.
So I probably just go to, like, college and learn more about that. And then after that, I could go do something else. And if that works out, I'll continue my broadcast, like, career. But, like, if it doesn't, then I'll just go do something else. But I feel like
you can be a plumber. Right, you can be a plumber.
Never in my life have I ever thought about being a plumber.
But now I just dropped that seed in you.
Yeah, no, I'm not touching toilets. But anyway, sorry.
Plumbing with Oma. Oma the plumber.
No, so what you got to do is you got to make a channel called Plumbing with Oma, and you got to use the broadcast in background to teach other people.
Oh my gosh, you run a blog? You're doing YouTube videos? Yeah. I'm going to use this U joint and show you how to do it. As soon as I put my cigarette down, it'll be, oh my gosh, that's where the skill turns into something, right?
Yeah.
And where you actually, your skills are off the chart. Like we're going to upload all these things onto that thing called the internet and we're going to use it. Yeah. These podcasts, I don't know what it is. You guys just keep throwing it up there and you're going to develop those skill sets quickly. And then you're going to just see more and more possibilities about how to move, how to create audiences, how to build the audiences. That's pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff. Anyway, I feel very good that you're both my co-hosts. I feel like you like to talk. Homer, you like to talk. I feel like Zach, you kind of like to talk. Is that okay?
That's a pretty accurate description.
Okay. And I just think you're both going to improve in ways where you want to. I want you throughout this experience to assert your voice. And to say, this is what I think. And I hope you don't always agree with me because it makes for a dull podcast when you do.
Yeah.
Right?
Don't worry, we will never agree with you.
Yeah, we never do. We just like lie. Yeah,
you know what? I don't care what you say about me. I think you're both great. Okay? I think I've just been dissed, but I'm an old man now, so I don't really understand many things. Anyway, I'll always be privileged to have you in this space. I want you to know that. So when you bring your voice to this, you're making the whole podcast stronger and people want to hear what you have to say. Mm-hmm. Okay. I believe that sincerely. You know, our 7 or 8 viewers, they're very important to me. So I want to make sure you never feel like, what will Magnifico think? I really want to know what you think all the time. So that's going to be, these are our co-hosts. They're going to be awesome. Oma did the first podcast. Zach, you've shared a lot about your thoughts and your visions and your ambitions and ideas in the second podcast. But now, Oma, we must do the quick cues. So will you explain what that is? And then we will run our second podcast guest, Zach, through those quick cues.
Okay. Quick cues are a series of this or that questions we ask to get to know you better. Yeah, you ready, Zach?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Dine-in or takeout?
Dine-in.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Driver or passenger?
Driver.
Singing or dancing?
Sing.
Burgers or hot dogs?
Burgers.
Adventure or relaxation?
Adventure.
Concert or sport games?
Sports games.
Wings or ribs?
Wings.
Rustic or modern?
Rustic.
TikTok or Instagram?
Instagram.
What's the best podcast?
Oh, Adventures in Career Land.
So, when you get that last answer correct, as you did, now you have the ability to upload this to that new thing called the internet, which is an awesome thing. So, hey, I really enjoyed this. I really enjoyed our first two conversations have been great. You guys are thoughtful. You have your opinions. I love that. And after spring break, we're going to start bringing real people into this place. Not that you aren't, but real guests. You're not real people. You're members of this broadcast media. You guys are ringers. We're bringing in smart ringers. You know what that is? A ringer?
No.
When you bring a ringer onto a football team, what are you doing?
I don't know what a ringer is.
A ringer. Ringer. A ringer. In our day, that guy's a ringer. You brought in a guy who's really good and really isn't on the team. You know what I'm saying? You brought this extra. Hey, how did you guys get that guy? Where did that guy come from? You playing hockey or something? He's never been on the team before. He's a ringer. They brought in a, you know, you're playing hockey in, you know, in the Schmegley League, and you brought a major junior guy onto your team. He's a ringer. That's what a ringer is. So you guys aren't ringers. You're actually participants here. But you're good enough to be ringers. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway, we'll move on. We'll move on to this. And that was fun to do. Our podcast is available on the podcast platforms, the ones like Spotify and Apple and others. We do some social media, so you can pick up some of our announcements, some of our images, some of our texts on some of the social media platforms as well. And you know what? That's it. Episode 2 of Season 10, number 102. So thank you all for being a part of Adventures in Careerland.